354 in our hymn books. Let us stand together, please, as we sing this hymn. And we seem to do better when we stand. Anyone listening? Oh, yes. Hymn number 354. Let's stand together, please. Three fifty-four.
If you have sinned and longing to be free, look to the Lamb above. He is to redeem you, he's on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Jesus stands and knows the prayer of sin, look to the Lamb of God. 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 For he alone is able to save. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your path may fall. Look to the Lamb of God. Enjoy your sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God.
Pastor, prayer. Brother John, can you lead us in an opening prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you and praise you for allowing us to come together so freely in this country. We know you are the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And I am, as mentioned in the scripture, Lord. We know that you are the only one where to worship. Your word tells us over and over again that you are the only true God. Father, we ask that you be with the service tonight, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us. Be with us, Pastor Luke, and bring this message to us tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Father, we ask that you also be with those that are not yet present here tonight, that hopefully are on their way, Lord, and bring them here safely. We know that the message, anytime we open up your word, will be a great blessing to us, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
We pray that, that our hearts and our minds will be open to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding in our individual lives and the lives of the corporate body of the Northfield Baptist Church as well. Father, in these things we ask, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and let us continue good singing. Turn to hymn number 386. 386. Second and last verses in this hymn also, 386. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy Lord, for Jesus, thy Lamb of God. Hallelujah, thine is glory.
Well,
pause for the announcements. And after that, we have testimonies. Your songs, special songs.
Amen. All right, welcome tonight to Northfield Baptist Church. We're glad that you are here with us on this February 3rd, 2019. And we are blessed to be together, to worship the Lord, and to hear a good message from God's Word. Looking forward to hearing Pastor Logan tonight. I get to hear him every Wednesday, so I get a special treat, along with Sister Carol and the rest of our other church members at Atlantic Adult Day Center. So I look forward to hearing him tonight. And so at this time, one evangelist said, he said, if your church doesn't have Sunday night service due to the Super Bowl, he said it's time to find a new church.
That's right.
And I would agree with that 100%. You know, if God is not important enough to continue having church when there's a football game, something's wrong in the church.
That's
mentality.
Right.
Something's wrong in the church spirituality. And so we need to not go with the world. We need to go against the grain of the world. A few years ago, you know, churches were starting to compromise a little bit, and instead of having Sunday night regular service, they'd say, well, we're going to have a Super Bowl service. So we'll have, you know, we'll have the Super Bowl at church, and then during the halftime we'll have a quick devotional, you know, get in the quick devotional, and then watch the rest of the Super Bowl. Guess what those same churches that were doing that 10 years ago, guess what they're doing now?
Nothing.
No Super Bowl service, no nothing service. Oh, go enjoy the Super Bowl with your family, and we'll just leave God out. Yeah, and sure enough, they close Sunday night services down, Wednesday night services down, now they have a Sunday morning or Saturday night. And how sad that is, but that's how the devil works. So he says, oh, give me a little bit. Don't worry, I will only take a little bit. No, the devil doesn't take just a little bit, right? He keeps going further and further and further. So we're thankful our church is still open. There's still many faithful churches open tonight and preaching the word tonight. So we're looking forward to hearing a good message from God's word. Then, just by way of announcements, we have soul winning this Saturday at 3 p.m. Then Sunday is our great 25th anniversary. We have a lot of guests. A lot of my family will be here. My Uncle Ron's coming, my mom, my stepdad, my sister, some of our older church members that used to be here that moved away. They're coming back, so we're going to have a great time next Sunday, so we look forward to that. So come on out with us and sign up on the restaurant, on the sign-up list to go to the diner, and then you can see what choices you have for that. So invite a friend with you to come out next week to hear the gospel. Then the other things are on here. Revival meetings coming up in March 24th. We just sang Revive Us Again. Looking forward to those special meetings with evangelist Gary Gilmore and a new evangelist and wife helping him, as well as the regionals. Okay. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Is there anything else? Sign up list out. Okay, yes, please. If you didn't sign up yet, please plan on joining us next Sunday. We have a lot of special things going on. We have pictures of the church past and present, and so that's why we got a lot of pictures this morning. And if you didn't get your picture taken this morning, please see John tonight. John, I don't think we got Eunice yet. And so if you didn't get your picture taken and you haven't been here for a while, if you're relatively new, we want to get your picture tonight. So we want to get that in. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. Pray for those who are sick, which includes some of my family. I'm thankful that I have not gotten it, but let's pray for the rest of them. And let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day of the money you about to receive. Dear Lord Jesus, my prayer, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
come back to a hymn book, so page number 63 in a hymn book. You sing the first and last verses and then open for testimonies after singing. This verse, second verse, first and last verses. Page number 63.
Long at the cross where my Savior lies, long been for cleansed and for sin I cry.
Testimony tonight, a blessing you received today or through the past week. Robert, so do you have your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, anyone else? I'd like to share a blessing. Go ahead, Mr. Lamonet.
So, I talked earlier about the new jam master. And I found out on Friday when he did one-on-ones with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful.
Amen. Wonderful.
And he got saved when he was working at Wawa.
Okay.
This guy that would always come in was a pastor.
Mm.
Must have been our pastor.
And he said that the guy asked him, and he's like, you have such great customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I come in here, it's so pleasant. And he was like, but there's one thing. Every time I come to visit you, I have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you come visit me, and you can visit me for free at my job?
Mm-hmm.
So then he found out that he was a pastor, and he was like, the greatest things in life you don't have to pay for. So
exactly.
He ended up going to the church.
Amen.
And I think he just moved to Baton Rouge, and he said that he's going to a church there for 7 months.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is quite true. The important things of life are not costly. They're free.
Amen.
Like fresh air to breathe it is free. Isn't that wonderful? We can inhale fresh oxygen from the God gave to everyone. And so is the gospel free. Someone else with a blessing from last week or to this day. Anyone? Well, I tell you what, while you're thinking, Pastor, you got to hang up?
Yes,
oh, go ahead.
Yes, it was a great blessing. As Dominique said, that reminds me that sometimes we take it for granted, all the clerks that we see every day at cashiers.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds us that, hey, we all have a job to do. That is. Don't tell that guy at Wawa that, you know, he shouldn't have gotten saved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All because some pastor or some faithful Christian was given the gospel. And so that's what Dylan and I did yesterday, all down the businesses here on Tilton Road. And it's just neat to know anytime we open up the Word and anytime we give out a simple gospel tract that it immediately it connects people with you, and they look up at you and they listen and they say, I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of young people, they've never heard the gospel, so it's amazing how we really need to sow the seed again, because we're living in a post-Christian society because they've never heard the gospel before. So, so we have our work cut out for us, but Dylan and I were very encouraged yesterday as people listened and they really were thinking about it. So pray for
that. Right. Praise the Lord. Thomas? Okay, we have a chorus from a chorus book. There should be one before you on the chair. The page number 91, The King's Business. The King is God, Jesus the King. And we are about His business, sharing the gospel. And we sing the song, one verse and chorus. Then we open for more testimonies. You can sing another verse afterwards. Page 91. Anyone have that? Okay.
I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My hope is buried upon the golden strand. The vast of the sea, a breath beyond the sea. I'm here unbidden for my King. This is the man that I bring. I bring the message in judgment would say, to be reconciled, but said my Lord, to be reconciled to God.
Amen. Someone else. God's business. Something happened yesterday or today. A blessing that you'd like to share with us tonight. Am I looking around? Someone else? The blessing, Belen, do you have a song? We have more songs than this is a book. In the main book. Go right ahead.
I have.
Press
it. Now, it's unbelievable, but before, back then, in this church, I used to say, Wednesday, I work Wednesday, so I cannot go with 6:11. And then they give me off Wednesday.
Praise the Lord.
So I say, I'll be able to come here first Wednesday. Now, if you don't come, I'm late.
Okay.
But now the Lord has changed my schedule. I didn't ask you for nothing, but now I'm going to go up every Saturday and Sunday.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I didn't ask anything, but God probably asked.
Open the window. Open the door.
That's
right.
Amazing job, yeah. Now I'll be free weekend, so you're going to get tired sitting here.
No, we won't. We won't get tired. We want you to come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you got the day off. 2 days off. Right back to back. Sound everyone else? Go ahead, Carol.
Which reminds me, I don't think it was in the bulletin, and that was my fault because I didn't give it the pastor in writing. But the third Saturday, I believe it's the 16th, will be the ladies' Bible study. We kind of took off a little time because of all the activities around the holidays, but we want to get back into it.
Okay.
And that'll be February 16th at 4 o'clock. Just come, bring a friend, bring a Bible. There will be refreshments, a light dinner provided, and we'll have a wonderful time praising the Lord and studying His Word.
Amen. Sounds great. Do you invite the men along with the ladies, Carol?
Pardon me?
Do you invite men also with your...
Do I invite men, though? No. I don't invite men.
Sorry. We have to have...
I will tell you that, as far as I know, as it stands right now, if I can get a husband sitter, it will be at Maria's house. I think it will be at Maria's house.
Okay.
It will be.
Okay. All right. Someone else with a testimony telling us about what happened today, last week, or throughout the week. Oh, we have songs. Would you like us to sing a song with you, Holly? Tell us what song you have.
Page 49
The course
book.
The course, what page is that? What page?
49
49 in our course books? 49?
49.
Okay.
We need echo parts for the song.
And that's the top song you're singing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. we have a small number on this side. It would be nice if you can have someone else, another person on this side to echo. Do the echo?
The kids said they wanted to be the
echo. Okay, the kids. Okay, fine. Let's do that. 49 at the top. I sing a new song. Ready? I sing a new song. Jesus came to serve a new master with a new name. Walk a new road, have a new door, feed a new peace down deep in my soul. One more time. I sing a new song. I sing of a new master, wear a new name, walk a new road, have a new door, feel a new peace down deep in my soul. Amen. Someone have a testimony. A new song. Here. Am I looking on this side too? Okay, anyone? Let's have a new song, another song. Who have a song?
The same page on the bottom.
The same page on the bottom. I surrender all. Okay, let's try that one at the bottom. And if no more testimony, we will let Pastor Logan come and share with us what God has laid on his heart. All right, we have number 49 at the bottom, same page. Action, to surrender our lives to Jesus day by day. At this time, Pastor Rice, Pastor Logan.
Good evening, everyone. God's people said.
Amen.
I was thinking when Pastor Rice said he gets to hear me on Wednesday, and that's a pleasure. I was thinking this pastor in Atlantic City who lady joined the church, and she was, every time he preached, she would make a comment. She said, that was a warm sermon. And so he thought, well, that's a good comment, it's one sermon. And each Sunday he preached, she would say to somebody in the congregation, that was a warm sermon. And so he didn't quite understand that, so he asked the diggers one day, he said, you know, Sister Jones says that Each time I preach, that's a warm sermon. I don't quite know what that means. Oh, she said, Pastor, that means it wasn't so hot. So, I don't want to preach a warm sermon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for this time to meet with these like precious faith. Thank you for this evening, Lord. Bless it in your name, and all of God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. So, as we talk about disciples and church growth, I want to use two scriptures that I think will kind of sum up what we want to talk about very briefly tonight. Our subject is church growth. In the book of Matthew's, the 16th chapter, Matthew the 15th chapter, sure we all know where that is. That's the first book in the New Covenant. And the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 18. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 18. I promise not to be more than a couple of hours, so you can get home and watch the ball game or whatever. Amen. I know I'll be here by myself, but... Amen. I'll be preaching to the wall. Matthew 16, 15, 18 says that, He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus announced and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's turn over to the very last chapter of the book of Matthew, which would be, of course, the 28th chapter. And I want to read the last three verses of that, starting at verse 18, the last chapter, 28th chapter of Matthew, and the last three verses, which will be 18, 19, and 20. Matthew, again, 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. And there we find these words. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me. Where am I? Lost it for a moment. Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Now, when we look at these two verses of Scripture, it clearly tells us, number one, that the church is not ours. Sometimes, and I know what they mean, I've been guilty of doing it myself when I was pastor, sometimes we say, well, my church, well, we really don't have a church. It's really God's church, right?
Right.
I mean, I know what pastors mean when they say that, because I've used that colloquialism also, but we really know that that's not our church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. But sometimes we use that comment, but God's not only establish his church through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also will build his church. Upon this rock, I will build. So everything that we do in the church life, as a disciple, as a pastor, as a preacher, is to build the church. And when we're doing this, we have to give all the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are nothing without him. And we recognize that as disciples, we have a responsibility from this last chapter in the book of Matthew to go out and to disciple men and women. What does that mean? Well, a disciple is a person that follows somebody else's teaching. The Christian religion is not the only one that has disciples. Many religions have what they call disciples in their congregation. But we're talking about Christian disciples, a man or woman that if it's been saved, man or woman that has the indwelling Holy Spirit, and then goes out to win others to the teaching, not of his teaching, but the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that's very important. Now, let me give you a few statistics on I think that will help us to know where we are so far as churches are concerned and where the church stands today. And it's a very critical situation, really, where the churches stand today. For example, do you know that 1,200 churches open every month? That's good, isn't it?
Right.
1,200 churches open every month. But the next statistic says 1,000 churches close every month. So we have a net gain of only 200 churches. That's in America. Also, the statistic says that 800 preachers quit the ministry every month. They just get burnt out. They just quit every month. And then 98% of churches have less than 1,000 members. And the average church in America has less than 250 members. So what does that say to those of us that are disciples about winning souls to Christ? Now, let's, as a born-again believer, I like the verse that Christ says, if we had the faith of a mustard seed. I've never seen a mustard tree, but every once in a while, you look in some of the Christian bookstores, you'll see a little glass enclosure, and in that enclosure that you can put around your neck, it has a little mustard seed, very small seed. If we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could say to that mountain, be thou removed and planted into the utmost part of the sea, and Christ said it would be done. So we're not talking about a lot of faith. Christ never tells us to have a lot of faith, but if we have small faith and use that which we have, amen? And we all have faith. Every time you drive, come up to a, you have faith that when you put the brakes on, that it's going to work. Every time you climb aboard an airplane, you have faith, and though you've never done it, and I've never done it either, you never ask the pilot to see his credentials, but you have faith that the old guy up there knows what he's doing.
That's right.
Because your whole life is in his hand. I'm reminded of a young man that went off to college and to get his education, and his father was a farmer, an uneducated individual, and when the young fellow came home during college breaks, he was talking about all he knew in college and all he learned, and he said, Dad, do you know anything about biology? I said, no, boy, I don't. He said, don't you know you owe a third of your life to biology? I said, I'm sorry about that, son. And he went on with different things that his father didn't have an answer to. Later on that afternoon, the story goes, they went out swimming. And they went in, a wave caught them. And the young boy, not being able to swim as good as his dad, was going down. He ought to, Dad, help me. And the dad took those graceful strokes over to where his son was. He says, boy, he says, yes, Dad, do you know anything about swimology? He said, no, Dad, you owe all your life to swimology. So sometimes when we look at life, the one thing that we need to know is that we don't know. For example, when you go off to seminary, Pastor can probably attest to this, you go off to seminary, one of the things that they do not teach you is how to be a leader. No courses on leadership. At least I didn't find any. And so we have what America has, a lot of churches on every street corner with pastors in it who are leaders who really know very little about leadership. And yet they are told to lead people. And yet, that probably accredits to many of our churches not growing. We want our churches to grow, don't we? So as a born-again believer, we have a responsibility. And pastors does a great job here of going out and winning folks to Christ. Most pastors that I know don't do that. They use the excuse, well, sheep have sheep. Pastors don't have sheep. Well, I think we're all sheep. I think we use the word sheep. Pastors fall under that too, don't they? We all are sheep. We have a responsibility as disciples if we're following Christ, if we really want to glorify Him. And that's really our goal, isn't it? The old Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of man, the chief end of man, and I think you'd agree 100% with that, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our chief end. Your whole goal in life after you accept Christ is to grow and to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, we are not told to necessarily make people Christian. Our responsibility as disciples is to be a witness. Now, when you're in court,
amen.
My granddaughter is an attorney, so I'm learning a lot from her about being in court. When you're in court, isn't it good to have a witness? I mean, what you say may or may not be true, but it's good to have somebody with it. In fact, it is so such an important issue that Christ himself says nobody can be convicted on one person. He says you have to have two or three witnesses. That's so important that we have a witness. And every one of you are witness. Now, you may not be a good witness, but you are a witness. The moment you trusted Christ as Savior, Lord, and Master in your life, you became a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in heaven. Amen. He promises you that he is going to supply all your needs. And you know, I think some people never get to realize that Christ loves you. He believes in you. He believes in you to such an extent that he died on the cross. Amen. To bring you into a correct relationship with him. Now, I don't know about you tonight. I love all of you. And I have four sons. I don't think I would sacrifice them for any of you as much as I love you. But yet Christ, who he didn't have to do it, he left the joys of heaven. Think about that. Think of what heaven must be like. And he left the joys of heaven, came down to 42 generations for one purpose, and you, and even though I don't have a scripture to back this up, I believe if you had been the only person on the earth, Christ still would have come.
That's right.
He loved us so much. He loved us so much. He loved us so much that when he looked down from the cross, all that they was doing to him, he says, Father, forgive them. Would you do that? I'm working on that. I have to admit, I'm working on that. I haven't got there yet. I'm working on that. But as born-again believers, we have the responsibility of bringing folks to Christ. Now, let's suppose this year, this is a good time to say this, because this is only the second month in the new year. If each one of you would make a promise to God and say, Lord, if you give me this strength, if you will give me the strength, you will give me the boldness, and we are supposed to be bold for Christ. Give me the boldness. I will win at least one person in 12 months, 365 days, 52 weeks. Now, how many of you believe that Christ would do that if you say amen if you do?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you say, well, that's not a lot of people to win, Logan. I mean, only one person, 365 days, 12 months, 52 weeks, and I'm only going to win one person? Northfield Baptist Church would double.
Amen.
At the end of the year. If you want just one person to Christ, think about that. Just one. So what does that say? That says some of us are doing nothing. Some of us use the excuse, well, that's the pastor's job. He goes out on Saturday. He's to win people to Christ. No, it's all about job. We're all disciples of Christ. We all have that responsibility. The Bible says, go you unto all the world. It didn't say pastors go. It didn't say Sunday school teachers go. It didn't say missionaries go. That's an individual commandment from God. It is not a suggestion. We're supposed to go. The Bible also says someday we're all going to stand before Christ. You know, in heaven, there are degrees of rewards. Everybody's not going to be in the same position. Salvation is free, but you have to work for rewards. I know I don't expect to get to the reward of Paul, but every one of you, those of you that are sacrificing, coming out on Sunday afternoons, Wednesday nights, and other times, you might think that, well, you know, Joe, he never comes out on Sunday evening. But somebody's writing it down. Not that he didn't come out, but he's right now, you're here.
Amen.
So don't think that your coming is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a record according to the scripture that the angels are writing down everything that we do, and one day the rolls are going to be open, and I hope our names are going to be there.
Right.
And we'll be rewarded according to the works that we do. Work does play a part, not in our salvation, but it plays a part in heaven.
Amen.
I don't know how this all going to work out, because some people are going to be wishing that they had done more, some are going to be in a higher position, And yet in heaven there's going to be an equality of happiness. That's great to know, isn't it? That we serve a God. That we serve a God that regardless, maybe you accepted Christ 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that's not important. You know this parable perhaps about the one that started to work at 12 o'clock, one started to work at 2, whatever. They all got the same reward. Okay, at the end of it. But isn't it great to know that in that day when we stand before Christ, for all the things that we've done, now there are those who say, well, we have to give an answer to everything that we've done that's bad. I don't think it's true. Tell you why. Because once we come to Christ, once we confess our sins to Him, He says, I put them as far away from you as the east is from the west. I put them into the depths of the sea. Isn't that great?
Amen.
To know that all of us have gone wrong. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want what I've done in life flashed on the screen here tonight, even since I've been saved. We say, well, I did that before I got saved. No, even after you got saved. Even after we got saved. There's not one of us can stand up tonight and say, even after I got saved, I lived a perfect life from that time on. We know that's not true. Isn't it great to have a God
Amen.
That is full of forgiveness?
Thank you.
That He loves you so much. And all He asks that we be His disciples. Once we trust Christ, once we make Him Lord in our life, we have a divine responsibility to do all we can, to study all we can, to win people to Christ. And again, I bring you the remembrance of the Westminster Confession. Chief inner man. And that's a generic term, man or woman. Chief inner man is to glorify God. Enjoy Him forever. God wants us to enjoy life, even down here before we get to heaven. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to live a vivid life. A life that when we get up in the morning, we're glad to get up. A life that says, I don't have to go to church on Sunday. I get to go to church.
That's right.
Isn't that great? That you get to come to church on Sunday evening. That you get to go out and witness. When I was pastoring, we used to go out on Thursday and Friday, I believe it was. A long time ago now. So kind of difficult to remember their exact dates. But we used to go on Thursday and Friday. We took 2 vans of people, about 20 people out. Week after week after week. There's very few homes in Atlantic City that we didn't go through to at least once. Let me tell you a little story about, just pull a little story about one of those visits. We was visiting a lady. We didn't know she was a lady. We just visited an apartment. And I think she had 3 kids. And we were with us. We went to knock on her door. I'm sure Pastor experienced it. So we'll experience it. Probably experienced it many times. And, you know, people would say anything to get your way. So she took the typical role, well, I'm busy. And as a witness, we taught the people, once you get, you remember the old salesman, some of us may not be old enough to remember that, the old salesman used to come around to your house and they'd always put their foot in the door. So if you close the door, you couldn't close the door. It's called getting your foot in the door. And so when we go to these people, many of them would say, I'm busy. That's the greatest excuse they'd use. And we taught the people, listen, when they say you're busy, always try to get an appointment to come back. Because breaking the ice the first time is always difficult. So we'd always ask them something like this. Well, Mrs. Jones, I know you're busy. Can we come back next week? And they'd always say yes, because they want to get rid of you.
Yeah.
I always say yes. I never got a no. Yes. And so we said, well, how about next Thursday? I said, what time? 4 o'clock? Okay, 4 o'clock. What's your name? Oh, we write all this stuff down. And an important thing to those that are going out, try to get the name. Because you know what? People will respond when you know the name. So when you go back the next time and say, oh, how's little Joe? And how's Susan tonight? How's Angelina? She's okay? Because that means that you are concerned not just about building the church, but you're concerned about the individual. That's important. The people never lose sight of the individual. That's so important. People are lonely today. I mean, I lived in New York City. 4 million people. There were lonely people in New York City with 4 million people there. And so we get the name down, and we never make a promise to go back and don't go. Better not to pray. Don't promise you won't come back and don't come. You just blew it not only for you, but for others that are going out to witness that will probably follow your track. So when you make an appointment with people, always go back. So we'd go back for Saturday next week. And naturally, they forgot the appointment. We knock on the door. Oh, Mrs. Jones, we come back. Oh, you told us that we could come back this week. Oh, I know I did, but I'm so busy. Okay, how about next week? You know, next week. Okay, same time. Yeah, same time. Okay, that's good. Yeah, I remember Curtis Hudson. I often use him as an example. He was a great leader, great man. He took a church, I think, about 1,300, I think it was, when he took it over. Maybe less than that. And he built it over 7,000 before he left and went to the sword of the Lord. But Curtis Hudson used to say, he says, when he go back to a house and the people had promised to come, and he'd go back to it and he'd say something like this. He said, "Oh, Mrs. Jones, I didn't see you there Sunday. You didn't come, did you? I was looking behind the post. Oh, maybe you were hiding behind the pole or somewhere. You weren't there, were you?" "No, I wasn't." They stayed with sheep to say. He said, "Okay, how about next Sunday?" See, you got to use little gimmicks like that to get people. To get people. Because then when we go back the next time, and let me make a story short. We went back probably 7-8 times to the same family. Same family, making all kinds of excuses. Finally, one day, we got in, got the witness. We won the family. I don't know where the husband was. I may not have had a husband. We won the family. We won all the three kids to Christ. Isn't it great there? Perseverance. Keep going back. Mm-hmm. And then another thing Curtis Hudson used to say, and then I'm going to leave Curtis Hudson alone. He would say that some of his people weren't winning people to Christ. He'd go out every week, a bus full of people. He had a lot of church by this time. And this lady wasn't winning people to Christ. And he said to her, he says, "Mrs. Jones," I'm using the name Jones because I don't remember the real name. He says, "I noticed that you don't win people to Christ." She said, "No, I don't, Pastor." He said, "Do you pray before you go?" She said, "Every time." "Did God answer your prayer?" "He never, every time." Just puzzled him. He said, "What are you praying for, Mrs. Jones?" "Well," she said, "I'm so nervous, Pastor. I pray that when I knock on the door, nobody else, and so far, God has never let me down." That's not the type of prayer we don't pray, do we? We want to pray that they will answer. And it's true that when we go the first time, it is going to be an experience when the perfect gets to the door. I mean, I have actually seen some of the people that we train that were going to knock on the door, stand at the door, literally shaking. And I just hoping that nobody would come. And let me say this and I'll move on in this sermon. Some of the time when you go, let me give you just a little here, because I know Pastor teaches them how to answer when they get there. Some of the time when we get down to sit down with the people, here's something you can say sometimes. When you first go in, for example, and people like to, you know, like to be, you know, talked about how good they're doing. So when you walk in, don't just walk in and try to win them to Christ. That's not going to work. You walk in the house, if they let you in, you say, "Miss Young, oh, I noticed those flowers you got there. Oh, I love those flowers. You know, I don't have a green thumb. How do you do it?" And she'll begin to talk about those flowers, or they may have a fish tank. "You know, I never could get my fish to grow. They always die on me. How do you do that? Beautiful fish that you got there. How do you do that?" And they'll begin to tell you about how they feed the fish and all the stuff they do. And then they'll get ashamed. And when you begin to talk to them about Christ, they get ashamed. They'll listen. It's called breaking the ice. Breaking the ice. Anyway, let's get back to the message. Now, as a disciple, there's so much stuff here, I'm not going to get to this. But as a disciple, one of the things that goes in discipleship, and this really doesn't need to be preached yet tonight because Pastor does a good job of this, but many times churches do not grow even though they have disciples because of leadership. That's not true here. Pastor's out there doing perhaps more than he should be doing. But leadership. I heard one pastor say that, "I don't have to come to your church to know what type of church you have. All I got to do is be in the presence of the pastor for just a few hours, and I can tell what kind of people you got. If you got a lazy pastor, you know what? You got lazy people. What's the old saying? Like, priest, friendship for me. Like what? Like people." That's true. Pastors mirror their congregation. Because if you got a congregation of people that don't want to go, will not go, probably the leadership don't go and will not go. So it all falls on the back of pastors as a result of church growth. Well, whether it grows or whether it doesn't grow. Because we, as, and I say we because I used to be a pastor, as pastors, we set the example. We take the lead. You know that in the Israeli army, a lot of generals get wounded or killed. You know why? Because in the Israeli army, different than other armies, the Israeli generals go out front. That's why they're able to win battles with so few and others don't. Because they inspire the other soldiers. They go out front. Remember the old days when you saw the Western movies, the Indian chief was always out front? Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't happen today in America's army. They sit back and they send the soldiers out front. But in the Israeli army, you're out front. Isn't that true of born-again believers? The Bible says we're going to be persecuted. Yeah, I've had people slam the door in my face when I went to witness. I had a guy come to the door completely naked. You know, I had another person come to the door, and I didn't know that he worked at midnight shift. What the blank, blank, are you waking me up? I just got out. I didn't know he just got off from work. You know, I'm trying to win people to Christ. But you can't get angry. You can't go back at them. You've got to win folks to Christ. And what's the old saying? You can win, get more flies, what? Finish it up. With what? Get, yeah, then you can what? Vinegar, right? So, even in the church structure, it has been said, and this had little to do with church growth tonight, but it's been said the most important people in the church, not the pastor. Know who they are? They're the ushers. Because if the ushers give a frown look, angry look, or say something bad to people, they're not going to hear the sermon at all. All they're going to think about that usher. That usher. That usher. You know? So it's important when we are witnessing to people, it's important to go the last mile. To bend over backwards. Because you have a message for them. You are, in fact, I got to bring Curtis Hudson in again. He said on one occasion, he always meet with his people before he go out, and he said, when one person wasn't winning folks to Christ, and he said, well, do you expect to win them to Christ when you go? Do you expect for them to get saved? He said, no, Pastor. He said, what's this, why they're not getting saved? You don't expect things to happen. Nothing happens. And so as a born-again believer, you ought to be shocked when you go out and knock on somebody's door, tell them about Christ, eternal life, all this is going to get, no more doctors, no more pain, no more fuel, and all this. And they say, no, you ought to be shocked that they didn't accept Christ. And if you are, you're going to leave that place and say, I got to get back there again. Value the person as a disciple. Put value the people. You'd be surprised what the sister says about lonely people that nobody seemed to care about. Nobody. Right in our community. There are lonely people in our community. Why? Because nobody seems to care for them. The human person needs to be loved. We need in turn to love. We need love. Sound to say a dog will die if you tie him up in the middle of the field and just leave him there and feed him, but don't love him. You just leave him there. They say an animal will die from lack of love because all you do is feed him, but you really don't love him. How much more so a human? Every person that you see, every lost person that you should see written right across that forehead, for this one, Christ died also. Christ didn't come to die for the masses. He came to die for the individual. Every individual, he came to die for you. Right. And he loves you. Isn't that great to know? That he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't love like we love. If you don't do what I think you ought to do, I don't love you anymore. Christ doesn't do that. If he did, we'd all be a bit of bad shape, wouldn't you? But he doesn't do that. Regardless of what you do, regardless of how you reject him, he still loves you just as much as he can because he can't love you anymore. That's right. There's no such thing as Christ said, well, he'll love me more if I do this. No, he won't. He's not going to love you more if you do this or that or the other. He's going to love you exactly the same because he is love. He can't love you any other way. He loves you so much that he'll let you go to hell. you don't accept it. He loves you so much that he will accept you as you are, but he loves you so much he won't leave you as you are. That's how much he loves us. That's how important a disciple is. Pastor cannot operate this church in a successful manner unless all of us come alongside. Too big a job. One man can't do it. You can't do it. When I was pastoring, oh, I made so many mistakes. I played the piano. I directed the choir. I led the prayer session. I scrubbed the floor. I did so much. No, not the way to run a church. Don't do the thing that I did, Pastor. Don't make those mistakes. Others have to come along. When I was in seminary, one of the things they taught us in church leadership was to delegate responsibility. You can't do the whole job yourself. Why do you think Christ chose 12 disciples? I mean, 12 is a number. Perfection in that area. Sometimes we say 7, but I think 12 is. But anyway, he knew that even he, the Son of God, he needed those disciples to come alongside him. And if Christ needed those disciples, how much more do we? How many times perhaps, and I'm using imagination, but how many times perhaps pastors cry on his knees praying because sometimes he's out there with just his children. I know that. I've been out there with just my family. Nobody else will go. When you go to bed tonight and doing your prayers tonight, ask yourself, Lord, do you want me to go? Be like Isaiah said, hear my Lord. When the Lord, look for somebody to send. He's here, my Lord, send me. Take that approach in this new year. Send me, Lord. I maybe can't walk as far as somebody. You know what we used to do? When we was witnessing, we was going out witnessing. I got this from Dr. Jack House. I don't know how many of you know him, but I still think it's the largest church in the world. Jack House, First Baptist Church, Hamden, Indiana. But he died, his son-in-law, I believe, took over. But anyway, Jack House, he had a witnessing program so great. I don't advise you to do this, but when he went to a home, witnessing, he did it even at the palace. He said, if you had the TV on, said, Jack, I'll go and just cut that TV off. I got something more important than that TV. Now, I don't advise you to do that. In this day, and you may get killed for doing that. Don't do that. But be bold in your witnessing. Be bold in your witnessing. It's important. You have the most important message in the world. The most important. No message in the world is more important than the one you have.
That's right.
Ask the Lord, what would he have you to do on this road? This church can be filled by the end of the year, if not before. And we take the approach, Lord, send me. I can do something. I can't do everything, but I can do something. The Arabs have a saying. Some people say a grain of sand is nothing, but they say put enough together. You got a desert.
That's right.
By yourself, working with others, we can accomplish great things here with Pastor Wright. But we got to do it together. We got to come together as a disciple and say, what responsibility of the Lord do I have on this program? God, you didn't put me here just to be, the old folks used to say, a bump on the log. Another prayer they used to say, do you just belong to the PWA? You know what the PWA is? That's Pew Woman Association. You're not here just to warm the pews. You're here to win folks to Christ. And that day we all stand before Christ, you're going to say, oh, I'm glad I took the stand. I can do what I can do. Whatever that is, it's important to pastor. Maybe, I was going to say this, we used to go out, we had, everybody in church was responsible for witness, everybody. It doesn't mean whether you're 70 years old, 80 years old, everybody's responsible. I got you from Jack Howard. Everybody was responsible. He had a church at the last count I got, over 98,000. He had over 700 school buses. Guess he's got more by now. So I think the man knew what he was doing. He had a result. And so we would have those that couldn't. What we do, we'd meet at the church on Thursday, Friday. I'm not sure what the dates right now. But we'd like to do it on a weekend. The reason for that is that if you go witness on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Satan, the person gets saved, Satan has all that time between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to get to the person so they don't come to church Sunday. So what we'd like to do on Friday, Saturday, Thursday, whatever the day was, as close to Sunday as possible, so Satan would have little time to get to them before we could get out there with a van and pick them up. That's important. But we'd have those people that were perhaps seniors or whatever, or had some handicap. They would come to the church, and they would pray while we'd be out there witnessing. That gets everybody involved. Everybody has to be on the program. Everybody has to, you know, in other words, the right thing has to know what the left hand is doing. That's important. Many of you may not even know. I don't know. Do all of you know that Pastor goes out, I think, every Saturday? So, how many didn't know that? Okay, everybody knew. Well, that's great. Because we have to be on the same page. How many of you, don't raise your hand, don't go with him on Saturday, but you know he's out there preaching. What time are you out there, Pastor?
3.
3 o'clock? What time to 3?
3 to about 4:30.
3 to 4:30. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you say, well, I can't go? I know pastors out there between 3 and 3:30. I'm going to take 15 minutes. I'm just going to pray for him. How much more effective his ministry will be? We come alongside him. Just pray for him because we can't go. And then we say, Lord, if you want me to go next Saturday, I'm available. I'm available. I want to leave you with that thought. I'm available. I'm available. That's important. And you know what? I said to my daughter who's passed now, I said, Kathy, the most important thing, most joy you'll get here on this earth, besides becoming saved yourself, is when you personally lead a person to Christ. She kind of doubted that. So we started going with it. And then one day in church she testified. She says, Dad, you're right. She had led somebody to Christ.
Amen.
Personally led somebody to Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times pastors get the credit for leading people to Christ. But many times, you as a lay person have gone to the person, witnessed to the person, and we as pastors, we get the credit. But you did the job.
Amen.
You did the job. You planted the seed. You watered the seed. And what does Christ say? One planted what? Another reapers. Okay. That's how it works. That's how it works. Wouldn't you like to walk in here on a Sunday night and have standing room only? Wouldn't it be great?
Amen.
Leading people to Christ. You're one of the few churches in the area that teaches the whole panel,
Council.
All right. That's great. Of Christ. Well, if you're one of the only churches on the block that's doing that, then you ought to be doing it to more people, amen? You ought to be doing it to more people. Because by and large, when the pastor says, like, I'm going to say this, I'm going to quit. It really doesn't mean anything. I don't know why they say it. It doesn't mean much. But anyway, by and large, they did a survey. I think it was the Pew Research. Most of us know about the Pew Research. They do research on about everything. They said, they interviewed people. 98%, I believe it was, I don't hold me to these numbers. I think it was 98% of those that they interviewed said they would come to church if somebody would invite them. Somebody would invite them. Three things that we can do to build up this church. Number one, we can do it easier now because of the computer. We can get a list of people that are moving into the community and send them some leadership from our church. Let them know, here we are. We're a fundamental evangelical church, preaching the gospel. That does a lot. Number one. Number two, we can start a YouTube channel. Not just go on YouTube, but start a YouTube channel. YouTube channel is the second largest website in the world. Not just here, in the world. It doesn't cost you anything. And you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to have expensive cameras and anything like that. Just get on and say, I'm Pastor Rice. Just getting ready to go to church. Show wish you were here. Oh, he said, I'm Pastor Rice. Me and the family are out to dinner. And show wish you'd be here. Most successful YouTube video are under 5 minutes. In fact, most of them are 2 to 3 minutes. Thirdly, we can be more kind to people. You know, like in the market and when you go shopping. You know, we can, for example, I know I got to quit, Pastor. For example, when you're in a restaurant, I know all of us are urged to do this sometimes. and the waitress said, they're slow getting there, or they don't read your menu right, why don't you just say, Miss, or sir, you seem to be very busy. I'm okay. Take care of the people. Get back to me. Because you don't know what that waitress or waiter went through. They may have come from a broken home. Maybe the husband just keeps you out of whatever. You don't know. But just being kind will give you an opportunity later on to witness to them about Christ. Maybe not that day. Maybe not the next day. But the next time you go back, they'll remember you. But if you get ugly, you just blew your chance of witness for Christ. Crits and growth. That's what we're here for, folks. We want to grow. Church has to go three ways, right? Church has to go certainly spiritual. That's the first thing. Has to grow spiritual. But a church that just goes spiritual has to grow numerically. Amen? We need to grow numerically. Thirdly, we need to grow financially. All these things are important to church growth. When you look at the churches in the New Testament, it started out with 12. In the upper room, they had 120. And then they had 3,000. Then they had 5,000. Then they had a great multitude. And then the Bible says that was added to the church every day. Every day. People are getting saved. I won't be satisfied until you're at Northfield Baptist. Every Sunday, somebody walks the aisle. Say, Pastor, I want to come to the Northfield Baptist Church. And I know you won't either. Pray for that. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. With our heads bowed tonight as we close this service, perhaps you'd say tonight, as the Lord has spoken to you, you'd say, you know, Pastor Logan's message encouraged me in some area to be more faithful to God. And by God's grace, with His help, I want to be more faithful to Him. I want to pray as those go out soul winning. I want to be a part of that group that goes out soul winning. I want to learn how to do this. I want to enter into the labors that people are starving without Christ. They need us. You say, Pastor, I want to do that. I want to help out with that effort. That's you. Just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. I want to get involved. To do something for Christ in the soul-winning arena. Amen. Or maybe God's spoken to you about something else as well. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from Your Word, of Amen. That Jesus said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We thank You that You are with us. We pray that You would help us in this job. And we know that You will and that You are. We pray that You would help us to be faithful to You. Amen. And help us to seek after lost people, Lord, that You'd renew our desire, renew our commitment to You. Help us all to come out this Saturday at 3 p.m. so that we can learn, be a second person to learn and watch the first person do the work. And then to, as we get more confident and more strong, that we can then do that first person talking, Lord. We pray You just bring out many this Saturday at 3 p.m. Lord, we pray that for those others that maybe aren't physically able to, that You'd help them to pray during that time, that many would be saved, that even come to the church and pray, and that many would be saved, that we'd be able to go forward for Christ this year, and that this year would be a great year of growth for our church. Lord, we pray that we would each win one this year. For Your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close. 503, Are Ye Able, Said the Master. Number 503, we'll sing the first, the third, and the fifth. And as we're singing this song, would you come up and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I, by Your grace, in 2019, I'd like to lead one person to Jesus Christ and then disciple them. That is my prayer this year. Would you come up to the altar? What a great thing that would be if we fill the altar with all of us who are zealous about one person. Not 20, not 10, not 5, not an unrealistic number, one person. Would you come, if the Lord has spoken to you about that area, would you come as we sing?
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified? Would you come, redeemers?
person tonight that we all are seeking to win one person in 2019. If you fail, but you give out the gospel in many places, what's the harm that's going to be done? If you don't get one person saved, it's not going to be any harm. You're going to be planting seeds and watering seeds all over the place. So even if you say, well, I don't want to fail, I don't want to go forward because I don't want to fail. No, don't worry about failing. If you've spread the gospel seed, hey, that's not failing. That's winning. That's success. Would you come, as we said, I'm going to ask Pastor Logan to come as well and come and stand in the middle of the aisle here. If you want to win one person to Christ this year and you're going to come forward and you're going to say, Lord, help me to do this, and with the company of this church, I'm committing to do this tonight. What greater joy would there be in heaven than if we all did that tonight? Yeah. That's not a devilish thing. It's not a demonic thing. That's a God-sent thing. Would we be courageous tonight? We live in a day of Christians who don't want to commit to anything. Are we part of the problem? Or are we part of the solution? We got to be part of the solution. Amen. I want to commit to that. That's a good goal. That's a godly goal. And if I don't get it, guess what? I'm going to try again next year. But I'm going to try. I'm going to at least try. Would you come tonight as we sing? Verse 3. Are ye able?
Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise?
Pastor, would you close us in prayer?
Father God, we thank you again for the time of coming and the worship with Eagle Life Precious Faith. And Father, we all make it though the evening that I come. I know going through our heart, they're saying, can I really do it? Yes, you can. God will not allow you to fail. He promised, never, as the songwriter says, never to leave you alone. He'll come right by your side. The Holy Spirit will come right by your side. And you will win. You're more than one, but you will win at least one. We pray for that, Father. Now bless us and go to our several homes. Keep with us and guide us and keep us. Continue to bless our nation, our leaders and authority. Continue to bless the nation of Israel. Peace of Jerusalem we pray for. Continue to bless Pastor Rice and his entire family. And all those that have come out tonight, give them a good share of your blessing just for coming. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.